Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson.
How's it going, Pat?
Hello, Cody. And we've got Tracy Noble on mic in studio, our producer. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Pat.
And Matt, our trusty engineer, keeping us on schedule here. So, Cody, what is the title of today's talk?
The title today is Managing Your People is Risky.
That's right. Which sounds like, don't do it.
Yep.
Because most people think we should avoid risky things and that we should generally play things safe. And that's especially true around people. Avoiding the possibility of tension or discomfort is preferred to leaning into it. But like so many things in life, playing it safe in managing your people only leads to mediocrity and actually increases the likelihood that something dangerous will happen. And that's what we want to talk about today. And this got provoked by a conversation, Cody, that you and I recently had with a CEO.
That's right. It was actually really interesting, kind of like discombobulating. We were sitting with a CEO, an executive team that we worked with. He said something along the lines of, oh yeah, you know, we've sort of distanced ourselves from the employees as we've grown a little bit because we kind of see them as liabilities. And you and I both were like, oh, what? Wait, what a second.
And this is a very bright yeah. guy. And he wasn't saying it in a cool way.
It seemed like that was the logical conclusion. They thought like, this is the direction we have to head now.
Right. And their thought was, someday this could get dangerous or risky if we get too close to these people and we have to let them go. So it makes sense to keep our distance.
Yep.
And we were like, no, absolutely not. And we thought about it. And so many people operate that way.
Well, and I think it's interesting that he used the word liability because the opposite of a liability is an asset.
Right.
And what we talked about is if you treat your employees or the people you manage like a liability, they become liabilities.
Exactly.
If you treat them like an asset and you lean in, even though it does sound, you know, we almost call this like, don't play it safe. Because the idea is, oh, if I know them well, or I invest in them, or we develop a relationship, that could eventually get messier.
Right.
And I actually loved your response in the room to the CEO is you said, hey, the people that that work in my company, you have to go there. You have to invest. The upside of investing and the ceiling that you can break through by doing that versus the mediocrity that you'd have to embrace to not invest, they're right. Not even close.
Yeah. The economics of this is actually really bad. If you have 10 employees and you get close to them and 8 or 9 of them do so much better as a result of the fact that you're close to them and you know them and they don't feel anonymous and they feel, and then to avoid the one that would be really uncomfortable because your friendship is going to change, that is so worth it. But human beings tend to think anything I can do to avoid that uncomfortable relationship is worth it. But it's not, because those other 8 or 9 employees do not reach their potential.
That's
not even
right.
close.
Well, and I know as an employee, I would sniff it out. If I'm treated as a liability, I know that I am. And I'm not going to put 110% in to anything if I'm treated as a liability.
Right. And this is the difference. And I go back to between Southwest Airlines and United. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are messy and they literally love on their employees. And if something happens in their life, they lean into it and they talk to them and they care about them. Yes. If that employee then needs to be fired, that might be harder. But that is so worth it to treat them with love, because they're actually going to be able to deal with it if they have to get let go, and they're going to feel like the dignified person as opposed to somebody who's been treated relatively coldly all along.
Right. And it's not you use the word love, and we talk, the one of the conversations we had was around like, it's harder to fire your friends, or, you know, if you become friends with people. And it's like, yeah, but the opposite is working with robots and not having the interpersonal connection, and you don't get the same level of passion and inspiration and success with robots that you do with like investing in real human beings. And so I do think that there is this tendency for us to say like, well, if I get really close to them, then at some point, if something goes wrong, I'm gonna have to fire a friend, or it's gonna be harder to let this person go. And the fact of the matter is as long as you're doing all the things that we talk about, like holding people accountable, constantly reminding them about how they're showing up, even friends can cordially find another place to work if it doesn't
still be
work
friends.
Out. Yeah. And you know, one of the things that we talked about as a result of that conversation is that this fear of one extreme
right.
drives us to stay in the exact opposite, the polar opposite side of the pool, you know? And so this company where they were like, oh, we think the people outside of this room might be liabilities. we weren't asking them go be all of their best friends. That's not what we're saying here. It's like, move in that direction, but they are so afraid of the end goal being on the opposite side of the spectrum that they won't even make small movements in that direction.
Right. And this is worth talking about because so often we have an inordinate fear of something. Mm. Like at our company for years, we were afraid of doing anything that sounded braggy. So we literally didn't market.
Yeah.
Because we thought, oh, that sounds braggy. We're telling people how good we are. Yeah. And people would say, that's marketing. And we're like, oh, okay, we just won't do that.
Yeah.
And so because we were afraid of the extreme of sounding braggy, we didn't do any marketing.
Hardly. Exactly.
And we see this all the time with people. Like a colleague of ours, he wants to make sure he's really thought something through before he speaks. And so because he wants to really process his thoughts, he very rarely shares his idea with us. And we're like, no, you are so far from oversharing.
Yeah.
So
I think one step in that direction is immediately you flipped the script on the whole thing.
Exactly. And so this is what happens with management. It's like, oh no, if I get too close to an employee, if I love that person, get to know them and get too close, that means that something terrible is going to happen. And it's like, no.
Yeah. And it's not, hey, immediately flip the scales on this and go into
hot tubbing now with everyone.
Yeah, now we're having a company party in my backyard. But it's like, I remember, and here's the thing, we were in that office, and I think after that I said, hey, listen, we believe in the people side of the company. I don't think you need to think that this is the most important thing that you guys are doing. But if you don't think it's in the top three, there's going to be a problem. Like if you don't think your people and investing in them and talking to them, you know, is important, then you guys are going to wake up one day and realize that we've right. sort of
and
taken
to their
our
credit,
eye off the ball.
They heard it.
Yeah.
They're fabulous students, this company. So yeah, that's one of those things. Now, I think this even applies in marriage sometimes. We were talking about this ahead of time, mm-hmm. Tracy,
yep.
about how if you're in a relationship, there are people we know that don't want to risk having difficult conversations, so they don't push each other in a marriage. And that's the riskiest thing you can do.
Isn't that mm-hmm. crazy? And that actually hurts the marriage.
Right.
The fact that we have such fear around going there, it does the opposite. It's just insane.
Right. And we learn that over time. It's like a little bit of pushing. You know, my wife and I came from very different backgrounds in terms of conflict. In her family, there was almost none. Mm-hmm. And in mine, there was too much. So we're trying to find a balance. But she can be very reactive, like, oh no, that's discomfort. We must have a bad marriage because we're disagreeing. It's like, oh no, we're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And then she's learned over time, like, oh gosh, to avoid that argument would have been so much riskier.
Yep.
And yet people will often choose, basically they're just punting risk down the road.
Absolutely. You know, we do this. I find myself slipping back into behaviors like this occasionally, and it's never good.
Right.
In relationships with my husband, with my friends.
We never think it's better to err on the side of something slightly risky.
That's right.
And it is messier. But like you, but to go back to the whole liability versus asset conversation, one of the things that we talked about was like, hey, when you treat people like liabilities, you're so risk management and preventative, and when you're trying to prevent something, the person actually, like you said, sniffs it out. Like mm-hmm. Pat uses that analogy all the time. Like the doctors that actually get sued are the ones that are like trying to prevent from being sued versus, hey, I just want to we're going to do this. And this is the best way that I know that we can do this.
And when they say, I'm sorry, I'm trying my best here, I really want to help you. People don't want to assume to sue that doctor.
No.
But the one right. that goes, well, I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, and we're not talking about waking up with your leg sawed off or anything like that. But it's like, oh, it was the other leg. But
I tried my best.
But it is like in an industry where you actually let the fear of something going wrong dictate what you're willing to do, that behavior can creep into a corporation or a team or a department really easily. And you wake up one day and you realize that we're almost always on our heels in prevention mode, and we're not getting all the goodness out of the people, and we're not succeeding at the place that we could.
Well, yeah. And I think beyond fear of messiness, I think we're all afraid of getting sued, which I just think is ridiculous.
I was just about to say, Tracy, that when lawyers design performance reviews,
that's right,
and the ways that performance management systems, it's usually around preventing something bad from happening, which often increases the likelihood that something bad mm-hmm. will happen, because that's the employees are like, what is this, an interrogation? It's like, no, I'm supposed to be helping you develop yourself. Yeah. Well, don't say this, don't say this, don't look them in the eye. They're going to be like, well, this place doesn't care about me at all.
That's right.
And by the way, all of this that we're talking about is only amplified during this past year where Absolutely. People are often not together. And if they are, they're often wearing masks and everybody is afraid of doing something. It's just such an interesting thing during COVID. And I'm really glad that people try to be safe and be prudent. But what I've found interesting is how quick we are, like, I don't want to give them COVID. I don't want them to give it to me. Mm. And so there's this distrust. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been with a friend who was really cautious about it. And they were with us and his son got COVID. And he thought, your family gave me COVID. And then we were all safe. And then it was like, oh no, I gave your family COVID. And we're like, no, it's okay. We're trying our best.
Yeah.
But there's this sense of everything is risk management right now.
Sure.
And it feels like, boy, I hope people reestablish this willingness to lean into one another, both physically and emotionally, because that's actually how we build the best relationships, the best companies, make the best decisions.
Well, and right now with companies and teams that are remote or hybrid or whatever, it can be really easy to lean back and go, hey, you know what? I'm not going to ask them about who they are as a person. I'm not going to invest in that. Let's just get our work done and we'll make this more of an operational thing. And I think you and I and our company is a little concerned about what happens in 2 years of this. You know, what happens to teamwork? What happens to the idea that the concepts that we talk about investing in people and knowing your people and the anonymity factor? And what we're not doing is just trying to, I think that there's a real danger right now of people saying, well, you know, it is risky. So now I have a built-in excuse to not even have to go there.
Right.
I don't need to call them. They're at their home. They're with, you know, so I just think that anyone right now who's listening to this, who goes, hey, actually I've kind of taken my foot off the gas as it relates to managing people and being involved. I think that there's a real call to say, we got to stop that.
And you know, in the first couple of months, and we've did some podcasts about this, we thought it was really interesting. We could see people in their home and we could actually get to know them as people. But I think we've gotten so used to this now mm-hmm. that that's largely kind of become something in the past.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think what you're saying is exactly right, Cody. You know, I think you mentioned, one last thing I want to say is anonymity is the greatest killer of job satisfaction. It's one of the three killers, but it's the first one. When people at work feel like people don't know them, their manager and others don't know them and know what's going on in their life and in their work, that is one of the most critical things to avoid. Anonymity makes people, even if they're paid a lot, even if they have a great job, if they don't feel well known, they're not going to love their work. And right now we are really at risk of a whole new wave of anonymity.
Well, and this goes back to that continuum conversation we're having, because what we're not saying is pry out personal details from everybody. It's like, we are not even close to solving the anonymity problem at work. Just ask people how they're doing, dig a little deeper, see what their kids are doing, what's going on in their lives. This is one step, you know, in the right direction. And it doesn't mean that suddenly we know everyone's medical history and why they went to the doctor last week.
People don't sue people that love them.
Yeah.
That's right.
You have more empathy and more concern. And yet we're creating an environment where that could be more likely. And that's something we want you to avoid. Love your people. Even when you don't like them, love them.
Yep.
And I think that brings us to the end of our podcast. All right. So thank you for joining us. Remember, don't play it safe because that's risky. Love your people. That's a big part of organizational health. We will talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.